I don't know if you can count to 10.
And welcome to Heights Unedited Podcast. I feel like we should have like poppers and streamers going right now.
Something dropping, confetti.
Episode one, Heights Unedited Podcast. This is a podcast featuring real conversations about real life. We're not faking it here. We get to dig deeper into the weekend message as well as answering any question that we have about life, so faith, and culture.
Then how are we going to make it?
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean? How are we going to do it?
We're starting off with some philosophical questions here. If we're not faking it, we're not making it. Man. Episode one.
So what does that mean? What does real mean?
Real means a lot of things, but I think when it comes to real life, a lot of times the conversations that happen in church stay in the church box and don't make it to real life. And we want to take them out of the church box and have some real life conversations.
Yeah. And knowing you and knowing myself, that's our least favorite thing about church is church conversations that never make it outside of the walls of the church.
Well, and the idea behind this, the unedited idea, is the fact that this is unedited, which
which is a little scary.
Dude, I don't know how this is gonna go because I feel like I need an edit button on just the way my life. Like someone needs to walk behind me because my mouth is not where it should be. And you know, the book of James hasn't quite gotten there yet with my tongue.
This could be fun.
It could be a disaster, it could be great. But let's see where we're at right now because both of our teams lost yesterday. And we record this Mondays, which is already a bad time because we're tired.
You lost to the Cardinals.
Bro, I know.
Let's just start there.
Okay, first of all, that should never have happened. Second of all, it's really awesome that I live in Arizona to lose to the Cardinals because I've already gotten 10 text messages about that.
Oh, man.
But you had dissension in your house because you have a Cowboys fan living with you.
Well, so he moved out.
Okay.
So we got him moved out.
Did you kick him out because of that game or what?
If he was still there, maybe. No, so they moved out Friday. And by God's grace, the game was Sunday. So,
okay.
But here's the thing. So the Arizona one's interesting because when we moved to Arizona, that first Super Bowl was the Steelers versus the Cards.
Wow.
And it was like, you're on an island.
Yeah.
Right? And then we beat them, and then everybody's mad.
Then you got a target on your back on the island.
And then they're like, well, you cheated. And I'm like, well, what do you want me to do? You know? So, yeah. So, but yeah. So, I've got two son-in-laws who are Cowboys fans.
Okay.
And then Jordan, who's kids.
Yep.
Well, our kid's pastor, you know Jordan. But, yeah. So Jordan's texting me during the game in a thread with Noah. And then out of nowhere, Bob texts me and he goes, hey, my internet's out. What's going on with the game?
Oh my gosh.
And it was right when the Cowboys had just taken the lead. I'm like, so dumb.
So dumb. Yeah. Tough loss for you guys, especially at the end there. Tough part of the game. I don't even know what to say about the 49ers loss. That was so frustrating. Both teams should have won. And
okay, what happened to Debo?
What happened to Debo? I don't know, but it didn't do well in my fantasy league, that's for sure. That was so rough.
Yeah, my fantasy league's struggling this week.
Yeah, we got that Heights fantasy league going, and I'm pumped because I'm handing Pastor Ben his first loss this week. And
that's been a bad weekend for him.
That's Bama a good place to be.
And then he loses in fantasy. It's not a good.
Here we are. Real conversations about real life. This is real life right here. If you know Pastor Ben, give him a call. He's not doing well. He's losing to Bama. Bama losing, fantasy losing.
Joseph, is that his name? Runs Roman Camera.
Oh,
I always forget his name.
Josh.
Yeah. I always want to call him Justin. I'm like, it's not Justin. So Josh. Sorry, Josh. There you go. Lost your name. But chatting with Josh, and so he was talking a little bit about the Padres and
Dodgers. Dodgers, man, intense series right now.
I didn't even see it.
So what happened Saturday night was back and forth game. Padres lose. So I show up to church, and everybody is coming at me.
Oh man,
Phil, who does guest services, he's a hockey fan. Dude shows up in a Dodgers shirt and comes right at me. I'm like, bro, really? They're coming at me. And I'm like, hey, this is game one. And of course, it didn't stop them. Well, last night was game two. Padres won 10-2. Just absolutely.
Are they in? We hit
six home runs.
Where are they in, L.A.?
They were in L.A. And I mean, honestly, I got a bone to pick right now. I'm just going to throw this out here. I think that Dodger fans should have a penalty from Major League Baseball with how poor they act. Absolutely zero class. What? They threw throwing stuff at players on the field. So they had to stop the game.
Sounds like a soccer game.
Yeah, you're like, this is normal.
Water bottles coming from the thing? Beer cans?
They had to stop the game for about 20 minutes while they were arresting people or doing whatever because Dodger fans were throwing things at the right fielder, throwing things at the left fielder, and throwing things at the pitchers in the bullpen. And what? Guys jumping on the field to try to fight the players.
What?
In the middle of a baseball game.
I got to start watching baseball.
I know. I'm telling you. It's exciting. Well, I was so angry. I was like, Dodgers should have to forfeit right now. This should be... Like, just no class and giving me another reason to dislike Dodger fans. Sorry, Richard. I was texting Richard during the game about that because it's just not okay. And honestly, here's the pain point for me is that there's some excellent Dodger fans that have been Dodger fans for a long time. And their name is getting muddied by these new Dodger fans that are acting the way they are. My father-in-law, diehard Dodger fan since the 60s. Richard, Dodger fan forever. Yeah. Josh, who runs our camera. Josh has had season tickets forever. His parents were at the game. Like, those guys aren't lumped in with them.
Yeah.
But man, bad reputation. And
that's the same. Like you go into the soccer world, right? It's always a few. It's never the majority of fans who are out causing trouble. In England, they actually have inside of the fan base, they'll have a group that are known. Like they want to be known as the hooligans.
Right.
And so they'll like travel just to cause trouble.
Just to cause trouble.
Every which way. And it reflects on everybody then. Reflects on the club. Clubs get punished. And so it's like, man, for these few now that everybody's getting it.
I'm realizing we should have started a sports podcast because this could keep going the whole time.
Why don't we, for the sake
of losing all of our listeners that are like, what did I start right now?
Unsubscribe?
Yeah. If you made it this far, please keep listening because this isn't the whole thing. We got more here. We're actually really excited about this podcast. John, what are some reasons you're excited about what this can take our church family?
Yeah, I think we've talked about it a bunch, but the goal of people being able to take what's on a weekend and now continue the conversation for themselves. So I think on a... It varies by season of life. It varies by person. So like if I take Miss Patty, right? Miss Patty, Texas, loves Heights, wants to still be connected to Heights. Heights Online is now a lifeline to her for that. But knowing that for her, who she zooms into her life group, but to be able to sit and have more conversation with the Lord around something. So you've got somebody like Miss Patty who's somewhat isolated, right? Stage of life and living with her family. But then you come more close to home and you look at on a weekend who's sitting in the room and you start to go, okay, how many people in the room can digest everything that's done on a weekend? Well, that's pretty slim, right? And how much can we say on a weekend?
Right.
And so it's one of those where it really does become what happens on the weekend is a conversation starter. This is just a continuation of that. So then to know that this trickles into families, people sitting, I hear people all the time go, when I do my job, I listen to podcasts.
Right.
Right. To know that, man, we can get more of the conversation from the church family to you during the week in your workspace. And that's pretty dynamic. What about you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think for the families, I picture families just listening to it in the car. And I think the connection points, that aren't just weekend centric, there's a connection point during the week. And it's like not only digging deeper onto.
Dude, the family in the car makes me think about you and the time you spend with your family in the car, driving back and forth.
Stuffed in the car. There's a lot of us in there. I know. Yeah. I don't know if they're going to want to listen. They're going to be like, Dad, why are you talking again? Yeah. Like, we don't want to listen to this.
We don't want to listen to you anymore.
Yeah. I just think the more connection points we can have in the week that bring church out of the box that it's in the weekend into the week, and being able to connect what happened on the weekend to what happens every day. And then also just real life questions. You have an opportunity. People in our church have an opportunity to ask questions. We get a monologue instead of a dialogue on the weekend. And this is an opportunity for a dialogue to ask a question of going, hey, this is the real situation that I'm going through in real life right now.
Yep.
How do I handle this with my marriage?
Yep.
How do I handle this with my kids?
Yep.
And for those of you listening right now, that's what we want for you. We want you to be able to submit a question. We want you to be able to say, hey, we want this answered, and you can submit it anonymously. Hey, please don't use my name in this, but here's the question that I have. And I would encourage anyone listening, most of the times the question that you have, 25 other people have as well.
For sure.
And we think that we're the only one having it. But when you ask it, really, it's going to be uplifting for our whole church family. You can submit questions to this email address that we have set up specifically just for this, for questions for the podcast, unedited@heightschurch.com, unedited@heightschurch.com. Any questions you have, you can submit them right there.
And my understanding is that's a new email address. So you could be the first.
You could be the first question submitted.
It's sitting there. You could be the first question.
Do it right now. You have a question. I know it's waiting. You have a burning question.
We'll guarantee you. We will talk about that first submitted question.
Oh my gosh. Here comes Pastor Bob sending us something ridiculous that we have to answer now.
We'll do it. Well, I think it's really worth slowing down on the question part, because you've done so well in the bonus content, whatever we called it, conversation after the 9:30. You've done such a good job always asking practical questions like, okay, how does it get to life though? Right? Like, yeah, we applied it one way in the room, but now let's apply it to as many people as we can. Right. And I think what the questions do is they're really built around either gaining understanding, either challenging in a good way. But I also think it's just, hey, how do I apply this? Like, this is my situation. I know what the truth is from the weekend, but what do I do with that?
Right.
And so I'm excited for that part, to hear people kind of contextualize for us what the message needs to go into. I think we'll grow as communicators through that.
I agree. Also get an opportunity to break down what happened in the weekend. Dude, let's talk this last weekend. Yeah. It was fire.
It was incredible.
So good. Incredible. If you missed this weekend, go back and watch it. We had a team that we work with in the Dominican Republic here. When they started singing in Spanish during worship, I couldn't help the emotion. Yeah. Like, it was like goosebumps and tears and what am I doing? I'm like choked up. It was...
Yep. And that was every service.
Oh my gosh.
Every service.
Grown men all across the room just crying when they saw this. And I think it's the realization that sometimes we put Jesus in just a local context and we don't realize like how big our God is and what he's doing in places that are so out of our normal rhythm of thinking that when we realize, oh my gosh, this is what God is doing there, like it hit me like a ton of bricks. It was incredible.
Yeah. It was fun to watch the church family. First of all, nobody sang at first. Even though they know the song, everybody just stopped, which just made me laugh. But I think one of my favorite things was to see like people just receiving. Mm-hmm. Like you saw a lot of hands go this way. Or the other thing that I really enjoyed was just people, like back to the tears part, the chills part, like you could sense in every room that there was something in hearing it in a different language that hit totally different.
Yeah.
So I know these words. We've sang these words. They're songs we've sung a lot of times, right? And yet to hear it in another language just hit totally, totally different in a really good way. In a way that transcended language to like almost a soul level of depth that.
Yeah. And I love your kind of like, addendum or whatever, like little note. Hey, if this is your first time and you're like, what the heck just happened? Right? Like I can imagine somebody walking into Heights for the first time and then halfway through the song, they start speaking in a different language and you're like, what is going on?
Well, and the other part of that is I've met probably half a dozen people within the last, I don't know, 6 months who have asked about some kind of Spanish translation.
Mm, yeah.
And one of them was in the room this weekend. And so to be able to walk on stage after knowing that it's hit him at a totally different place, it was just a really cool moment for the church family.
So cool. Well, you have a relationship with the Dominican Republic team because you've been down there.
Yeah.
We've heard stories of that.
Outhouse stories.
Yeah. You had some issues. You were in an outhouse. We'll save that for another episode.
Dude, oh, man.
But just with your relationship with that team, how has this weekend impact you knowing the impact that they're making and seeing it firsthand down in the DR?
Yeah, I think first of all, it's been this beautiful, long, and I think I even said on the weekend, longevity is a gift. Mm-hmm. And so looking at a Nelson, so
16 years, right?
I had arrived at the church, stepped into mid-high. They gave me 3 months to get mid-high cranking. And so mid-high is going, and I mean, it's, you know, you're in that world. Like it's wild. Packed rooms every week, right? And the lead pastor came at the time and said, hey, here's what we want you to do. We want you to go on a trip. We're whiteboarding, is what I was told. We're clean slating missions at Heights. Because at that point, everything we got was inherited from our Baptist roots. So there was all these missionaries that we didn't know. And so the clean slate was, where does our global impact, so to speak, our global footprint, where does that go in the future? So Colby and I and Heather, her sister, got connected to Vision Trust. And Vision Trust, when we told them what we were looking for, because I came from a mission background where it was, man, you are the missionary, right? So you grew up in some church in America or England or whatever, and now the church is paying you to go kind of be the hero and kind of, which there's a place for that. So, but I come out of it and I was somewhat jaded by a lot of ministry and a lot of money that had been put into that and seeing missionaries leave and the ministry fall apart. Mm-hmm. And so when we went to the DR, we're like, we just want to meet somebody who was on the ground that is raising up leaders in their community.
So cool.
And is doing the work in the ministry and training future leaders to essentially reach the Dominican so that the American, they're not dependent on the American church to keep providing a missionary, right?
And that's kind of backwards to the American church on how we think of missions. I called my dad, I'll talk to about it in a second, but I had an opportunity to hang out with the DR team yesterday after church. We played some baseball. We got into that. That was amazing. But I called my dad to tell him about it. And I was like, hey, we had these missionaries from the Dominican Republic at church today. And I started telling him, and it didn't sink into him that they weren't Americans that went to the DR.
Yeah.
He was like, oh wait, no, they're Dominican. I'm like, yeah. Cause we have this different view of what missionaries are, but partnering with somebody who's boots on the ground.
Yep.
That's awesome.
So somebody who is Dominican, who is raising up other Dominicans, that was our goal. Can we come alongside them? And that's where partnership comes from, right? Partnership in the gospel. But can we now come alongside them and empower them to do even more? And that relationship is void of who sits in our global role, so to speak, which Colby's stayed in place for a long time. So what's interesting with that is going down, meeting Nelson all those years ago, seeing what he was doing, and we literally just went to different places, and he just showed us the need. And now 16 years later, so one of those was the deaf school. And to see the deaf school grow, because in Dominican culture, deaf people are outcast and they have no value. And so to see the church come alongside and go, no, we're not only going to value you, we're going to create a future for you.
Right.
And we're going to train you and we're going to give you practical skills for life. And then another community, kind of the same way, it's a rice community, and kind of that whole community being kind of neglected because they're out and away from the city, right? And so it's just fun to see all these projects that we got to kind of, that we've had a part in. And now to see what you heard this weekend, Nelson go, God challenges him in 2019, who's the next me? Mm. And so he's left the ministry he was with to now start this whole new training of future leaders.
Yeah.
And so it's just this beautiful, like, and then I don't know how you felt, but being around the Dominican team was a breath of fresh air.
Breath of fresh air. It was incredible. I loved it.
So fun.
And then, you know, the idea of who's the next you and raising them up. Yeah. It's a great question for us all to ask, but he's doing that with younger people, and they all were there. So we had someone in kids ministry and youth ministry this weekend.
Which I heard Nelvin was in kids, right?
He was. Yeah. He was in kids and youth. He got to share
the services, I heard.
Yep. All services. That's awesome. He was sharing, and he was going back and forth from kids ministry to middle school ministry. Oh, he shared on stage in middle school ministry. Shout out to Sarah B, who translated for him.
So good.
Grew up in a Spanish speaking church as well. And so she was able to translate for him on stage. She crushed it, and the middle schoolers loved it.
Wow.
So that was really cool. But I got introduced to Nelvin. Melvin with an N. That's how he said I was supposed to pronounce his name. And it was Pastor Bob was the one who introduced me to him.
Yeah.
And my first thought was, he's messing with me. This isn't how you say his name, but it is. And then Bob follows it up with, he teaches baseball in the Dominican Republic. And that hits me because I just was like, well, I teach baseball in the United States. Like, this is awesome. So I went to my car, got my baseball gloves, and went straight to him and tossed him the glove and said, hey, let's play catch. And he was like, what is happening right now? But we went out into the grass area on our campus, our Prescott campus, and was able to play catch there. And just so fun to be able to hang out with them. And then after church, I get a call from Colby, and she said, hey, do you want to come over to my parents' house? The whole team's going to be there, and we're going to be playing wiffle ball all afternoon.
Oh, wow.
So I'm like, playing baseball with some Dominicans. Dominican is like the Mecca of baseball. Like, they eat, sleep, breathe baseball. And I should have been Dominican. That's what I'm saying. So got to play with them all afternoon and hang out with them. And it does just fire you up seeing what they're doing.
So the real question is, with your old man skills, were you able to hang?
Let's say this. I'm pretty sore today. Okay. Let's just start there. Let's say that. I'm definitely old. I rolled out of bed a little slower this morning.
That's fair.
I think seeing the team fires us up, and then firing up to do something was kind of the crux of the message yesterday leading into it.
Yep.
And already heard from many people in our church that are like, hey, we got to do something. I heard of a couple that they'd been kind of stirring on their heart for a little bit. Wife looks at the husband when you were speaking, leading into talking to the people from the DR, but before we even got there, and says, we got to do this.
Wow.
God's calling us to do this.
And that's amazing.
Just awesome to see that. And I think that that's probably the spirit that I see most right now within our church, is that God is moving in people and they're either hesitant to take that step or getting close to that. What would you say to those people right now that God might be stirring in them to do something? What does that fire look like for them?
Yeah, I think what's interesting is where my brain went initially when you were talking is we try and manipulate where you should go. And it's not intentional. It's out of, we have these needs that are very, very real, right? And so often out of needs, we get a cattle call and just kind of lob every need out. But I think there's so much health when somebody walks with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit goes, we're called to this. Mm-hmm. That's a totally different level of serving that will happen, right? And so the passion, I think, actually comes from walking with God, which is why we've been intentional the last few weeks, just going, I just want the Holy Spirit to speak, right? Like, we've told you the opportunities, they're there, but it doesn't mean God needs you to fill it, but you are called somewhere. And so like that walk with the Holy Spirit. So I think for somebody who is in that journey with the Holy Spirit, and maybe they're feeling like, I'm getting this nudge towards, but you're not sure, go talk to somebody.
Yeah.
Right? Go sit with your life group. Sit with people in community. Go to maybe it's the leader of the ministry. Like, if I'm looking at anything in next gen related, come sit and talk to you.
Yeah.
And go, I feel God like moving me this direction. I don't know what to do. Right? Then for you to help them decide, hey, here's what I would recommend. Here's this thing. Or it's, you just need to sit and let God clarify that for you.
Yeah.
But what about you? What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, I think I made a statement in a message a couple of weeks ago that everyone is called to ministry. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we think of that as, well, ministry, that's what you do, Todd. That's what you do, John. Yep. That's what a pastor does. And we think about ministry as a call to vocational ministry within the church. Not everyone is called to vocational ministry within the church. Absolutely. That's a specific calling.
Absolutely.
And it's powerful and it's a great calling. But everyone who is a follower of Jesus is called to ministry.
Yep.
And you can do it in whatever space that you're in. And I think that became very clear through what you said this weekend, but also through what we saw with Nelvin. I asked Nelvin, so do you work at the church? And he goes, no, I do baseball. Mm-mm. And it was, his way to explain. He goes, he was kind of confused. Why would I work at the church?
Yeah.
I do baseball. That is my end to tell people about Jesus.
Yeah.
Others we heard of that they build playgrounds.
Yeah.
Who would think building playgrounds? Yeah. But what that is it's contextualizing cool to is, them.
As I asked Isaac, right, who he was talking about,
mm-hmm.
Isaac runs their sound and lights for the church, builds playgrounds, like, and has got this dream much larger outside of the church with engineering and architect and that, and at the same time wants to be connected to the church.
Yeah.
And I think that's the part that's missed. For some reason, culturally where we are, it's you're either in the church doing ministry or you're out of the church.
Yes.
And I think somehow like there's a bridge to both of those that, yeah, you can serve in kids on a weekend, but that not even be your primary because you're out here and you see your primary as, man, I am reaching this whole engineering field and business that I'm in. I think one of the people in our church that I've loved for years because he wrestles with this is John Rocha.
Mm-hmm.
And watching John step into middle school ministry because his kids are that age. So watching him do that, but at the same time, he's still wrestling with how do we get affordable housing to people in need?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and those are both I think there's a piece of it where getting people to wrestle with how did God make me and how do I, cause I would go equally with you where you're called to serve.
Right.
Right. You're called to serve the kingdom. And so what does that look like for you?
Yeah. And this, dude, I could get fired up on this one. Like this is a topic I could get fired up on because I feel like there's so many people that need to understand that bridge. If it doesn't exist, you're falling in the water and you're drowning. The bridge has to happen between your faith is not just something on the weekend.
Yeah.
It bridges to your life. If you are a high school golf coach, that's your ministry.
Yeah.
If you are a whatever you do, that is your ministry. And when people understand that, I think the other thing too is I see it on the other side that people that have understood it and I see the joy and the light bulb come on. Josh, we talked about earlier because he's a Dodger
Josh
fan.
Is amazing.
We'll forgive him for that. But man, he's understanding that in his business right now.
Yep.
And he shared with me how incredible it's been for him to be able to do ministry through his work.
And what I love about Josh's story is he's taking steps. So they're taking steps thinking they're supposed to do something. And in the process of that going, actually, I think God's nudging us this way. And so it's not even like, this is what I got to do. And this is what, he's literally like in this dance with God going, I'm going to take this step. Wait, God's nudging me this way. And when you hear where they're moving towards, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
But it didn't start with where they're moving towards. It started way back here with just being faithful to go. I love the words from this weekend that stood out the most to me were willing and available.
Yeah.
That nails it. So he, I don't know if he said it Sunday, but Pastor Alessandro Saturday night hit that pretty hard. Of when they look for people to entrust, to pour into reliable people, I said, how do you determine that? And he goes, we look for people that are willing, but are also available. And he said, a lot of people are willing. They've got a heart for it. They want to do it, but they're just not available.
Yeah.
And so it never goes anywhere. He goes, so what we look for is somebody who is willing, but also available. And then they start him with very small things, right? And in that process, then they discover the ones that are going to step into leadership training because they want their vocation and church to match up. So, yeah, I don't know. But that to me was a huge, huge takeaway from the weekend is for our church, who's willing and who's available.
Yeah. So good. So good. So good being with the Dominican team, seeing them and more to come. We'll talk about that in a second.
But can we, before we leave them, the joy of the Lord.
Oh yeah.
In all of them.
Yes.
Not many people see it. Saturday night, they are circled praying post service.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody walks in the back and they go, they just love doing this.
Yeah.
Like you can just tell it's not a chore. It's a joy. I was like, oh man.
Yeah. Conviction.
Conviction. We got some stretching to do on that one.
I know. That's good. Okay. We got a question in from Annie. Annie means anonymous. Anytime we get an anonymous question, it's coming in from Annie. So here we go. Annie asked this.
Does that mean the first one here, because it got made up is someone you're connected to?
Or
it's just Annie.
It's anonymous.
Okay.
It's Annie. Annie asked this. We love Heights. Heights is our church. Glad you like Heights. But we are busy on the weekends. We have sports, life, and we don't get to go as often as maybe we should. But I recently had a friend call me out on my attendance. Is it wrong for us to let life get in the way of attending regularly?
Wow.
I know. Heavy
that's
hitter.
We're out heavy the box. Hitter. Out the box. Okay. So a couple of things.
It's relatable, by the way.
Super relatable.
Life is this crazy. Sports is crazy. Like schedules are nuts.
Well, you've got it too. Two kids in club growing up, club soccer. I coached the team. I would drive down the hill on a Saturday and drive back up for a league game, drive back up the hill and teach that night.
Yeah.
Like, so the grind is real.
Well, right? And Monday through Friday grind is real. Sunday's a nice day to sleep in and not go to church. Gosh. It's another thing on your calendar.
For sure. For sure. Well, and then realistically in sports, you've got games on weekends. Sometimes you got tournaments on weekends. And so now that is your whole weekend consumed. And so then the next weekend, I mean, to your point, the next weekend, we're just home.
Right.
Right. Like I get that. Like that's a normal. So I think first of all, it's just a context, right? It's a family. Mm-hmm. You've got some kind of choices you're making for your kids, which is beautiful. At the same time, it's the wrestling with, okay, how do I grow my, because it's not just an individual. It's not just the parents. How do you grow your faith? It's okay. How do we, with our schedule, how do we supplement for our family that we continue to grow in our faith? Mm-hmm. And so I think a couple of ways that come to mind that we did, that we had to walk through was our kids being connected to youth or kids was super important. And so trying to build that connection, even if it's just to a leader who would spend time with my kids. Mm-hmm. So that was one. Another one with that was life group becomes important, which is difficult because to your point, your week's crazy.
Yeah.
Because you're training and you got practices and you got right. dance recitals or whatever you happen to be in. So I think life group becomes difficult and there's so many that you've got to pick a time that you can commit to, right? It's back to the willing and available. You got to pick a time where you go, okay, we can commit to this night for this, knowing that our Sundays are going to be, and then that's an anchor relationally to the church.
Right.
And then I think Heights Online is a gift. I can't tell you how many times I drove up from a soccer tournament with our kiddos in the car, we put church on that day. Right. We're driving back Sunday afternoon and we attended church in the car together. And then we'd have conversation in the car about whatever had happened that day. I think this is a gift to stay connected.
Yeah.
So but you're living it, man. What do you got?
Well, I would say two things. And for the sake of not offending, I guess, I don't know if that's the right way to do it, but like this could come off super harsh. I think the questions you have to ask yourself are the things that I'm allowing to take my time and my energy and my effort and my priority, are they becoming an idol? Right. What am I worshiping? Is this something right. I'm worshiping? Because
this is good.
The day of worship, setting aside a time of worship, a worship service, going to church on the weekend, going to church when a service is offered is an act of worship.
Yep.
So if you're replacing that with something else, is that becoming an object of worship for you? And do you need to stop and ask that question? I think you do. I think if that's you that's wrestling with this or you ask this question, is this something that you are worshiping and have put in the place of Jesus?
Well, and to that point, is this something that not only am I worshiping, but is this something that I've got false dreams in? Mm,
yeah.
Like from coaching, and when you've seen it, you coach, so many parents think their kids are going somewhere. And as a coach, I can tell you they're not.
Yeah.
So you're sacrificing everything on this altar of sports going, this is their future. It's not their future. My kids, I coached them both years. I was very realistic that they weren't going to college on their sports. It was going to be their academics. And so you've just got to, I think in that, is it an idol for me? Am I living through my kids?
Right.
Right. Like, is this actually my dream? And my kids are living
on the sports side of it. I saw this quote that was, the percentage of kids that make it to college and the percentage of kids that make it to professional after that. And
so
it showed the numbers and then it followed it up with the statement, but 100% of them will stand before Jesus. And I'm like, whoa. Oh snap,
man.
Right. Yeah. That's heavy. And I get that's, you know, a little much, but it's the truth.
But reality is, like, as parents, you have such a limited time to, we think it's long because we're exhausted in the process. Right. But we have such a limited time to prepare them. When they go to college, they become who they're going to become. Right. Yeah. And you have influence, but it's not nearly like when you're living with them. And so I think back to the worship thing, like there's even a calling on you of who you are as a parent. And only you can answer that. Are you fulfilling your role as a parent to raise this child in the way of the Lord?
Yeah.
Right. And what does that look like? And that includes the act of worship.
Yeah. And I think the worship piece too, it might not be the sport, but it might be sleeping in or having your own time or it's worshiping myself, whatever.
Yep.
But again, there's little eyes seeing who you're worshiping and seeing where that is. The other thing I would say about this real quick as we move on to our next question though, is it comes down to what are you willing to sacrifice? Following Jesus is a sacrifice.
Yeah.
The whole idea of following Jesus so you will get,
It's just false.
Yeah. It's just that is not the gospel. Yeah. It is always what you will give and what you will sacrifice. Yeah. Going to church is a sacrifice every week. So it comes down to, you know, the question here is, is it wrong for me to let life get in the way of attending regularly? No, but what are you willing to sacrifice?
Well, the danger becomes like when things don't go well, it's because we're not going to church.
Right. And that's not it. That's not it.
I think for the person who's drawn this to your attention, I don't know their motives. I don't know kind of what their background is with church or anything like that, but it's an opportunity for you to sit and just evaluate and look at it from a fresh lens and back to the Holy Spirit. Okay, God, where are you leading our family? Have we drifted? Are we drifting into somebody else's determining our schedule and what we're doing versus us saying, no, this is what's best for us?
Yeah.
And every family has to figure that out.
Yeah. Next question that we have, this is a question submitted by yours truly, me, myself.
Oh boy.
We talked about it a little bit earlier, just the passion that we saw from the DR team. Here's my question based off this weekend, seeing the passion from the DR team, how do I have that kind of passion in my faith? Cause I'm going, man, like you said, sometimes it's a grind.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure I'm not the only one. That's why I asked this question, because I know there's a lot of you that maybe feel the same way when it came to this weekend, when it came to just how you felt in general. How do I have that kind of passion in my faith?
Yeah. Do you have an answer?
I know. I'm asking you, John. Come on. Let's go. I need my question answered.
I think it's tied to the other one. I think passion is connected to, idols is a good word for it, right? But less of that is probably my attention, my focus, my loss. Mm-hmm. Like for me, this becomes a job when I'm not connected to Jesus. This becomes exhausting when I'm not dependent on God.
Right.
Right. And so I think somewhere in there, there's probably a shift in perspective, a shift in kind of what's driving me. And when I get that in place and I begin to, when I'm connected to Jesus, and what I mean by that is probably the John 15 of the vine and the branches, right? Like when I know I'm like anchored into him, I view everybody different. Mm-hmm. I move slower. I see people different. I see the reason why I'm doing it. I can get to less tasks, more people.
Right.
When I'm not that connected, it becomes all tasks, or not all tasks, but a lot of tasks. And I get annoyed by those tasks. So I don't know. That's a crack. But when I see what I saw this weekend, they're just so happy to be doing what they're doing.
Right.
And I think it goes back to larger picture of we get to be a part of the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
If that don't fire you up.
No, that's so good, man. And even just that word get to.
Yeah.
Right. We talk about that within culture of Heights staff is get to instead of have to. And man, even church attendance, you get to, you don't have to.
Which is back to the thing on the weekend. We're not going to manipulate you into serving. But we are going to go, there's opportunities.
Right.
And we are going to trust that God's going to lead.
Yeah. And it's a get to, not have to, because God will meet you there.
Yeah.
And I promise.
And if you don't step up, God will bring somebody else.
Yeah. It's not, I know
it's going to happen.
He invites us in, but he doesn't need us.
Yeah.
I love that.
Not at all. That's not good. At all. He'll use somebody else. He'll put them in there.
That's good. Okay. As we wrap it up, We have three more weeks of global series coming at us. Okay. What are your hopes for our church family during this global series?
Yeah, I hope that back to the center of all things, we get to see people with Jesus at the center of their life and the impact that's having around the world. So this week we got Jay coming in, and then we got JJ the week after, I think, and then we got Chip and Diane are back. And so we have multiple weeks of people coming in. And the goal is, as you hear stories or you hear them teach or whatever it happens to be, it's just like, man, this is incredible. One, that we get to be a part of this.
Yep.
But it's also a challenge for, wait, I have the same Jesus, the same Holy Spirit. What does God want to do with me?
Boom. There it is. Make sure you're there this weekend then. You're going to not want to miss this global.
Don't miss Jay.
Yeah, don't miss Jay.
Jay from Japan.
Jay from Japan. There it is. JJ. Wait, there's another one named JJ.
There's another one named JJ, I guess.
Jay from Japan. I just tried to put it together there. All right. We should come up with a prize here. This is the end of the podcast club. If you made it to the end of the podcast club, then you are a part of the end of the podcast club. Yeah. There should be something. It should be Reese's because that's my favorite. I don't know.
How about this?
I don't know how we'd get them to people.
What are we putting this on? I don't even know what we're putting this on.
Wherever they find their podcast.
Wherever they find their podcast, can they leave a message? This is how out of it I am. Yeah. I don't do anything.
Ask. This is like talking to Bob about anything tech right now. This is going great.
This is how it feels, right?
This is wonderful.
I just listened to him.
We are unedited, folks, and John doesn't know what's happening, but here it is.
However you get a message to us, if you reach the end, tell us, and we will get you something.
There we go. There it is. Social media.
But if you scrub to the end, that doesn't count.
Doesn't count. You gotta make it through.
Scrub or scroll.
Scrub or scroll, whatever you want to call it, John. This is your world. We're just living in it. All right, here we go.
We probably should be done.
We need to wrap this thing up. Man. Thank you for making it to the end of the podcast club. If you can hit subscribe to this, it really helps us. It helps us get the word out for the podcast. If you can rate it, that helps us as well. Give us a 5-star rating if you think we're worth 5 stars. And if you don't, be honest, because this is real.
Be honest.
But I don't know. How 5 stars would help us. Give us a 5-star rating. Subscribe to our podcast. And make sure you're
don't hurt our
here
feelings
every week for this. Love you guys. That's all we got.
Bye, guys. Bye. Love you.